You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Reach down, pick up your Bible if you have it with you. Just want to read a couple of verses before you sit down. Isaiah chapter 61. Stay right there, Brother Jimmy. If you have your Bible, Isaiah 61. I'm going to read you just three verses here. Verse 1, the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Verse 2, "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God." Yes. "To comfort all who mourn." And verse 3, "To grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, and the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness." Oh, hallelujah. "That they may be called the oaks of righteousness." Get this. "The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Something about your praise cements you in the kingdom. So he said, "I'm going to give you a garment of praise in the place of a spirit of heaviness, that you might be the planting of the Lord." Oh, hallelujah. Bow your head. Father, in Jesus' name, as we open up your word tonight, let every heart be open to receive it. Let there be an open heaven in this room. Let every man and every woman leave with a touch from heaven. Don't let us leave the same way we came in. Let us leave with an impartation of your spirit and of your word in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you praise and we give you glory because we know you're the only one that can do these things in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody shout aloud, amen. Amen. Give Jesus a hand of praise as you're seated. Hallelujah. I hope you came ready. Do you appreciate this worship team? Give them a hand. Tell them you love them. Isaiah 61 says, "I'll give them a garment of praise." Four. Everybody say four. Say that word again. Four. You know what that means? He's giving you a garment of praise in place of a spirit of heaviness. Everybody say, in place of. That means you can't wear them both at the same time. You can't wear them both at the same time. When I wrote my first book on the power of overwhelming joy, something the Lord showed me, he said, it's like, remember when you used to watch Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? How many remember Fred Rogers? Remember Fred? Many people didn't even know he was a pastor. Fred Rogers was a pastor. And he was a Methodist minister. And Fred Rogers would come into the house while he was singing, "Won't You Be My Neighbor?" And you remember what he did in the very first part of the show? Every episode, he'd walk in the door, come dancing in, open the closet, off came the suit jacket, and he'd hang it up. And he'd pull out a pastel button-up sweater and throw that thing on and button it up and take the dress shoes off and put the running shoes on. And the Lord says, just like that. See, you notice Mr. Rogers didn't come in the room and try to stretch that sweater over the suit coat, because it's not meant to be worn over the suit coat. He had to take one off to put the other one on. See, God said, "I'm going to give you a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, so that when you put the garment of praise on, the spirit of heaviness has to come off." Oh, hallelujah. Many people are so worried about getting the proper diagnosis. And is this a chemical imbalance? And do I need antidepressants? And am I on the right medication? But see, you got to understand that those are just natural manifestations of a spiritual issue. And when you have a spiritual problem, you got to deal with it with a spiritual answer. You can't medicate a spirit. You cannot diagnose a spirit. When you're getting ready to cast something out, you don't go in with a clipboard and ask it, do you plan on checking out today or do you need a few more days? You don't extend the room of a spirit. You got to cast it out. And God said, there's a power I'm going to put in your hand. It's the garment of praise. Hallelujah. For the spirit of heaviness. People say, you know, brother, I think you oversimplify the things in life. I think you oversimplify what people are dealing with. But see, God doesn't want his answer for your life to be complex. He wants his answer for your life to be simple. God's not looking to confuse his children. He's trying to bring understanding to his children. In fact, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119 and verse 130, he said, Lord, the entrance of your word gives light and brings understanding to the simple. He didn't say when your word comes in, people get confused. I've been in those services before. Some preachers preach, you got to keep a dictionary next to your Bible to follow along with what they're saying. Are you hearing me? I feel in the ethereal atmosphere that the heavens are beginning. It's like, I don't even know what you're talking about, brother. God's not looking to confuse his children. He's looking to bring answers to his children. In fact, he prophesied and promised in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, that when the Spirit of truth has come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. Didn't say he'd keep you outside of truth. He said he'd pull you into truth. So the Holy Spirit's job primarily is not just to empower you, but to pull you inside of an understanding of this truth, so that whatever opposes your life is cut down by the power of this word. For the Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth that you know will set you free. Hallelujah. There's a freedom power in truth. Do you know that's why people work so hard? Religious people, you know, you go back all the way back. It's demonic. How even in the old, you study church history, it's demonic how even the big denomination, even go back to the Roman Catholic Church before the Reformation, they tried to keep the truth out of people's hands, not into their hands, out of their hands. We're the only ones that can carry this word around with us. We're the only ones that can tell you what it says. We're the ones that'll manipulate it so you'll do the things we want you to do. We don't want you to have. Did you know the people that gave us our Bible, those that were so bold that they would translate the Bible into a language that the common man could understand? Many of them died to bring you this book. They were burnt at the stake to bring you this book, because there were people in the higher ups of religion who said, we don't want the people to have the Bible. It'll cause them to become unruly. And what they were really saying was, we won't be able to manipulate them like we used to manipulate them. But see, God didn't just reserve his word for his preachers and teachers. His word is for all of his children. His truth is for all of his people. And when the truth comes to you, it brings a strength into your spirit that will drive out every attack of the devil. Somebody shout aloud, amen. His truth carries power. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21. I want to read this to you. Proverbs 21, verse 16, the writer of Proverbs said, the one who wanders away from understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. The one who wanders away from understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. That means you can be, watch this can blow your mind. That means you can be a Christian and a follower of God, but if you don't receive the impartation of the word, your life can look the same as an unbeliever. You can be on your way to heaven, still battling the same struggles as someone who doesn't have a redeemer. Oh, I'm preaching in here tonight. I wish somebody would help me. This word is the key to freedom. And this word is the key to power. There's no other force in the universe that carries the power of this word. Even the psalmist had to write in Psalm 138 and verse 2, Lord, you have magnified your word above your name. Even the name of God doesn't carry the same power as the word he lifted up above his name. I feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. Everybody knows how powerful the name of God is. The Bible said at the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow and every tongue has to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I love that verse of scripture because it doesn't say Christian knees will bow. It says every knee will bow. Muslim knees will bow and Buddhist knees will bow and Hindu knees will bow. Rasta knees will bow. New Age philosophers' knees will bow. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the kind of power in that name. But the psalmist wrote, Lord, I can see something. You've magnified your word above your name. When God created the world you're living in right now, he didn't create it with his name, created it with his word. I said he created it with his word. When it was time to bring light into the atmosphere, he didn't speak his name, he spoke a word. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to show you something. When it was time to deliver his people out of bondage from Egypt to the promised land, Moses said, Lord, I don't know what to tell them. I do not know what to say. He said, just go ahead in there and give them this word. I am. See, the word of God is fire. I mean, literally, it's literal fire. Jeremiah said it this way, Lord, they want me to stop prophesying in your name. They want me to sit down and shut up. But every time I stop prophesying, your word is like fire shut up in my bones. And I'm weary of holding it in. At another place in Jeremiah, God spoke to him and said, he said, because of the people's rebellious spirit, I will make my word like fire in your mouth and the people like dry wood. And then another portion of Jeremiah, he came to him again and said, is not my word like fire, a hammer that smashes rocks? God's word is what? Fire. The Bible declares that Moses is just wandering through the desert and all of a sudden he comes up upon a bush that's burning, but it blew his mind because the bush wasn't being consumed. The reason the bush wasn't being consumed is because the bush wasn't really on fire. The bush was just housing the word of God, which was on fire. And when he walked up, even your Bible, you read it for yourself, your Bible will tell you, and he saw that the bush contained the word of God. And when he looked in, the word started talking to him from outside of the bush. The fire of God got into his belly because the word is fire. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. The Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? So anywhere you can read God, you can read the Word. Because the word's not just with God, it is God. God is his word. You can't separate God from his word. And you can't separate his word from him. They are one and the same. Somebody say, the word is God. The word is God. So I want to show you something in Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Bible said, our God is a consuming fire. So if God is a consuming fire and he is his word is a consuming fire. I feel like preaching in here tonight. I said, I feel like preaching in here tonight. Elijah stood up on top of Mount Carmel. He said, let's have a contest. He didn't say, I'm going to call fire down. He said, let's both talk to our gods. And whoever's God answers is the true and living God. They spent all day trying to call fire down and spoke to their God and spoke to Baal. He didn't answer. I love what Elijah did. He started mocking them and God didn't seem to mind one bit. He said, where is your God? Maybe he's in the bathroom relieving himself. Maybe he went on vacation. Maybe he fell asleep. Maybe you should send him a Snapchat. Maybe you need to direct message him. He ain't around. And when it was Elijah's turn, he just began to talk to God. And when God decided to talk back, his word came down in fire and ate up the sacrifice. Because God's word is fire. I read over in Revelation chapter 1, the Bible said John the Revelator was on the Isle of Patmos receiving revelation from the Lord. He heard a voice in chapter 1. He said, I turned to see who was speaking to me. And I saw a man whose hair was white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were a flame of fire. Out of his mouth came a two-edged sword, and his voice thundered like many ocean waves, and his skin was bronze like it had been refined in the fire. He said, I saw the living, reigning Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And that kind of blew me up, because when I read that, I said, Lord, I thought you showed me that your word was fire. Why are Jesus' eyes fire? I thought it was your word that was fire. He said, your answer is found in Jeremiah chapter 1. And when I flipped over there, I read where the word of God says, you have said well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. Jesus' eyes were not on fire. They were just reflecting the fire of the word he's watching over your life. When he speaks a word to you, he's watching over that word to perform it. Has he not spoke it? And will he not bring it to pass? I feel like preaching in here on a Tuesday night. Has he not spoken? And will he not bring it to pass? His word, if you're taking notes, you got to write this down. God's word is the vehicle in which the power of his spirit travels. Or you could write it this way. The power of God's spirit travels in the vehicle of his word. Amen. The power of God's spirit travels in the vehicle of his word. There's a lot of churches that try to have the spirit without the word. They just want every Sunday to be a praise break. My God, we had church. I tell you, pastor didn't even get a chance to preach his message. We just praised the whole service. You didn't have church. Because the word is what we came looking for. The word changes situations. And in fact, I'll go a step further. If our praise doesn't contain the word, we might as well not be singing. There's people singing stuff that ain't even doctrinal. And people crying at altars over some song that you can't even find in the Bible. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, that the road would not be hard to climb. Well, in fact, if you read the Bible, he promised that exact thing. He said, come unto me, all of you that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He didn't say, come to me and I'll put a heavier burden. You think you have life hard? Get saved. I'll show you what hard is. No, he said, come to me. If you're weary, if you're heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy. This ain't no hard life unless you ain't living it right. You know, people get frustrated with products they buy and they throw them into the side of the wall because they never open the instruction manual. This stupid thing won't work. I've been working on it for 3 hours. Open the instruction manual. It's still in the wrapping. Happened to me when I was a younger father. My little daughter, Madeline, she was so young. She got into princesses, Disney princesses. And she said, Daddy, 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 it's Christmas. I want a Disney princess castle. It was on her list. So I went to Walmart, picked up that princess castle. I think these toy companies on purpose terrorize the parents. Things like 280 pieces to put together. You're sitting there battling a buffeting spirit just to get the toy together. I take authority over you, Princess Castle, in the name of Jesus. I brought it home, took it all out, because you know, a good father, no kid wants to have to wait on Christmas morning to play with their toys. They want to just start right in. They don't want to wait for dad to put it together. So I said, night before, I'm going to put it together. Pulled it all out of the box, set it all pieces out. But I'm a man. I don't need no instructions. Pow, I threw those over my shoulder. I got this. I can put it together while watching TV, making a tombstone pizza in the fridge at the same time. And I'm putting it all together. By the time I was done, it kind of looked right, but I had like 13 leftover pieces. The lights wouldn't turn on in the castle and the music wouldn't play. And I was so mad. I had spent time It's late at night. Christmas morning is next morning. It's like 1 a.m. And I'm ready. I mean, I already have my shotgun cocked and pointed at the castle. And all of a sudden, my wife came in. She just, as wives can do, maybe you'd like to look at the instructions. I said, you know what? It's right. I could have saved myself all this frustration if I'd have just read the instructions. I could have saved myself pain and hurt. I wouldn't have had to go through what I went through if I'd have just read the instructions. I wouldn't have hooked up with the people I hooked up with. I wouldn't have spent years trying to pay off student loan debts if I'd have just read the instruction book. There's a whole lot of hurt I could have missed out on and been further ahead if I'd have just read the instruction manual. See, because the Word of God will give you wisdom ahead of time. Yeah, because it's power and it is fire that burns up every bit of chaff that tries to come against your life. You can speak the word out of your mouth. And when you speak it out of your mouth, did you know the same power? Oh, I'm about to get into something here. It's going to stir my faith. Hope you're recording. I'd like to preach this message again. I need to know what I said. Hallelujah. Did you know when God decided to form Adam from the dust of the earth, He formed him with his hands. But did you know Adam is the only thing we see in this entire earth, you and I, that didn't come out of his mouth. We came out of his hands. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, you're custom made. Custom made. Custom made. Everything else came out of his mouth, but you came from his hands. But he took the dirt and began to form it. Formed it. Adam was a sandcastle man, laying there on the ground. No life in him. But God said, I ain't done yet. I got one more step. And he moved his mouth down and breathed the breath of life into the sandcastle man. And he became a living being. When the breath of God came out of his mouth and went into that dirt, it turned him into a living being. All scholars agree that the breath of life was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came out of God's mouth and went into Adam, and the Holy Spirit filled him. Adam was the first Holy Ghost filled man. Some of y'all thought it was Jesus. It was Adam. I'm not preaching this as doctrine, so don't get your heretic flags out. But I want to just give you a thought. This is just a thought. I'm not telling you the Bible says it. I'm telling you it's a thought to think on. Think about this. God said to me one time, I was sitting on the front row listening to my bishop preach. God said to me, who do you think taught Adam to speak? There was no Hebrew on the earth. Nobody spoke Aramaic or Greek. There was no language available except whatever God gave him. And if, now listen to me. Every scholar agrees that Adam was filled with the Holy Ghost when the breath of life went into his body. And the Bible teaches us that the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost is speaking in other tongues, a heavenly language. God said, how do you think I talked to him in the cool of the day? How do you think I communicated with him? How do you think I led and guided him into all truth? Adam was the first Holy Ghost filled man until sin separated him from what God created him to be. But I came to encourage you, because Adam had control over everything in the garden and everything in the world that God gave him dominion over. How in the world do you think a lion walked past Adam? He said, you're a lion and you're a hippopotamus and you're a bear and you are a bird. How do you think he was able to name them and contain them and control them? The breath of life was in his mouth. A living force came out of his mouth. The same power that was in the mouth of God when he created the earth came into Adam's mouth when he was formed by God. And he spoke with the same level of power as what God spoke. Adam was God's representative on the earth. And then he lost it to sin. So the first Adam, but then God said, I got a second Adam for you. His name is Jesus, who the Bible calls the last Adam. And the last Adam came, and in Luke chapter 3, went down to the Jordan River and was baptized by John the Baptist. And when he came up out of the river, the heavens opened up. And God blew his breath one more time. And the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. And Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, and Jesus was led into the wilderness full of the Holy Ghost. Why do you think Jesus walked from the time he was a baby till he was 30 years old? He was the Son of God the entire time and never produced one miracle. You know why? Because just like us, he needed to be filled with power from on high. So when he got baptized, the Holy Ghost came down. According to scripture, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. After 40 days of prayer and fasting, Luke 4:14 says, and he came out of the wilderness full of the power of the Holy Ghost. He went from being filled with the Holy Ghost to be filling with the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm just giving you a little side note here. Fasting and prayer will let you open up the floodgates and release the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not just being filled with the Holy Ghost that ensures you'll walk in power. If that were the case, every Holy Ghost filled believer would be healing the sick and raising the dead. But there's something that's required on our part to take hold of the power that's on the inside of us. And when we begin to fast and pray, it opens up the floodgates and allows the miracle power of God. He's all, brother, I don't know about that. It's what Jesus told his disciples. Go to Mark 9. You know what you'll find? They brought Jesus a boy who was deaf and he was mute and filled with a demon spirit that tried to cast him into the fire and into the water. And they said, Lord, we brought our boy to your disciples. And they could not cast it out. But hold on, I thought he gave them all power. He said, I've given unto you all power. How much did they have? All power. Not only that, you know what? They were confused because they had already cast out demons in the past. They healed the sick in the past. And they came to Jesus and said, Lord, why could we not cast him out? What did Jesus say in Mark 9:29? This kind of demon doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. The power of the Spirit. So when you speak, your word carries the power of God. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. I told you the other night, I said, people say, well, that's right, brother. We need to speak life, not death. No, you need to speak death sometimes. The enemy's going to try to come at you, put a cancerous tumor in your body. You don't speak life to that thing. You speak death to it. I curse it in the name of Jesus, command it to shrivel and die and pass from my body. Jesus didn't speak life to the fig tree that bore no fruit. I'm going to show you something here. You're an agent of change on this earth. And anything that opposes God's agenda on the earth, speak to it. Tell it, shut up. Now let me show you. People say, well, why would Jesus do that to that tree? Even the Bible says that he went there and there were no figs. It wasn't the time of figs. You read commentary on it. If you've ever been to the Holy Land, there's a fig tree that bears figs twice in a year. Once when the leaves come, and then again later in the year, it bears figs again. The reason that the Bible says, and Jesus seeing leaves upon the tree, expected to find fruit there, is because those fig trees, when the leaves come out, the figs also come out. And when he walked up, this will blow your mind. Notice what Jesus said. And the Bible says, and he answered unto it. Do trees talk? How do you answer something that doesn't speak? The thing is, it was speaking to him. You know what it said to him? I know your father created me to produce fruit, but I refuse to produce fruit. That's why John 15 says, any that refuse to produce fruit, you shall be cut from the vine and thrown into a pile to be burned. Jesus answered unto it with the power of his godly word and said, if you're going to continue to be unfruitful, see, the tree was standing in rebellion to God's purpose and plan. And Jesus said, if you're going to stand in rebellion to what my father said is going to happen on this earth, then from this day forward, you will not bear fruit again from this point moving into the future. And the Bible said the disciples' eyes got wide and the tree withered and died. Jesus didn't speak life there. He spoke death. As soon as we get this, we're not going to be putting up with the same stuff we used to put up with. Mm-mm. Acts 13, Paul's trying to preach the gospel to the governor, Sergius Paulus, trying to get him saved. But the whole time he's preaching, there's a sorcerer named Elymas standing in his ear. Don't listen to him. He's telling you lies. That's not the truth. Don't listen to this God. And the whole time that Paul's preaching, the sorcerer's speaking. But you know what Paul did? He spoke a word out of his mouth that brought death to the eyesight of that sorcerer. He said, in the name of Jesus, from this day forward, I command you to go blind. Pow. Instantly, his eyesight was gone. And the Bible says he had to be led around by the hand. You know why? Because the power of life and death was in Paul's mouth. I want to show you something. Take your hand, put it in front of your mouth, and say, power. Could you feel that come out? Say it again, power. You don't even have to say it hard. Power. You can feel it. You know why that's the case? Because it's impossible to speak without releasing your breath. Every time you speak, the breath of life comes out of your mouth. Why do you think that the heavens had to open up for Jesus and the Spirit had to come into him? Do you know what he did when he called his 12 disciples? Breathed upon them. What was he doing? Transferring the breath of life out of his body into their body. Jesus, let me tell you, we only have record in the scripture of Jesus raising his voice 3 times. I told you this on Sunday morning. The first time is in front of Lazarus' tomb, and he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. When he did, the breath of life jumped out of his mouth, went into the tomb, and shook a dead man back to life. The second time was on the cross. The Bible says, and he cried out with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the earth shook, and the tombs of holy men and women opened up, and they came walking out. Why? Because the breath of life came out of his mouth and got into dead bodies, and they got up. The third time he will shout is found in 1 Thessalonians 4, that the trumpet will blow, and he will descend from heaven with a commanding shout, and the dead in Christ will get up out of their graves, because the breath of life will come out of his mouth one more time. And every dead thing will have to get up. There is power in the breath of life. For the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and quickens your mortal body. There's power in the Word. There's power in His breath. When you begin to speak, listen to me. You speak using the breath of God and speak the fire of God. I'm going to just say it to you this way. Some people think that when you get saved, the only other baptisms you need are baptism in water and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But in fact, there's a third baptism that John spoke of. He said in Luke chapter 3, verse 16, he said, there's a man coming who's mightier than I. The sandals, I'm not even worthy to unloose the latches on his sandals. He said, when he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I don't just need the Holy Ghost. I need the fire of this word. In fact, the Bible speaks of this baptism. If you understand that the word is God and God is fire, Christ is the word according to John 1. The word made flesh dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. The Bible says in Galatians 3:27, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When you get baptized into Christ, you have put on the fire of God. Do you know? That's why people were all freaked out because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't die. But you know why? You can't kill fire with fire. They said, I'm looking in. I thought we threw 3 men in. We did. I see 4. The fire came to visit. And they're up walking around. You can't kill me in my own home turf. I was born in the fire before you threw me in this fire. The fire don't kill the fire. I want to show you something powerful. Because the very thing that was sent to destroy you will actually destroy your enemy. Because the guards grabbed them up, bound them, drug them to the edge of the furnace, and threw them in. And when they threw them in, the flames licked out and grabbed the guards and burnt them to a crisp. And they fell down dead. It was meant for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but it actually killed their enemies. Pharaoh came looking for the children of Israel to take them back into bondage, but they had already crossed through the Red Sea. And he said, let's go get them. And the very thing that delivered them killed their enemies. See, when you understand this level that we're standing on, I just want to preach to you about tonight, the level you're on, the level of the breath of God, the fire of God. But let me take you one step further. Every believer in this room is anointed with a lion's anointing. I mean, never heard that. What in the world's a lion's anointing? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 28 and verse 1, the wicked run away when nobody's chasing them, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Proverbs 30 and verse 30, the Bible says, the lion is king of beasts and turns aside for no man. I ain't never seen no lion walking through the jungle hoping there was no monkeys in there. I heard there was monkeys in this jungle. No, he's the king. Everybody else moves for him. There's even animals bigger than the lion that still run from the lion. Giraffes run from the lion. Hippos run from the lion. Elephants run from the lion. You know why? King of beasts. And when he comes through, birds start chirping. Monkeys start screaming. See, let me tell you something. When you stand up in this kind of lion's anointing, don't get mad. There's going to be some monkeys start screaming about you on Facebook, and there'll be some monkeys screaming about you on Instagram and screaming about you on Twitter and sending direct messages behind the scenes. Let the monkeys scream, baby. You're a lion. And when the lion comes walking through, everything else that's opposed has to move out of the way. Have you ever seen monkeys in the jungle? You ever see anything on National Geographic? You know what they do? You know what they do when they come through? They'll take their own feces and throw it at you. Monkeys do that. Isn't that funny? I say, that ain't my problem. That's your problem. We got those people in church. They got something messed up in their life, but they're trying to throw it on you. They're trying to throw it on you like it's your problem. It ain't my problem. I'm a lion. I ain't a monkey. I said they're trying to throw it on you. Don't let somebody define you by the problem that's in their life. That ain't me. That's you. I'm walking with the lions. And when lions come through, everything else got to move out of the way. Don't try to define me because you messed up. I'm here to help you. Let them scream, baby. Bible said, let the heathen rage. When John was taken up into heaven, Revelation 5, he said, I saw the book, but I started to get sad because there was nobody worthy to open up the book. But then I saw him, the lion of the tribe of Judah, who was worthy to open up the book. Here's what I like about this. I preached a little bit about this week. But the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, you are of God, little children, and greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. The most exciting part about that verse to me is the first part. Everybody loves to get up. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. I came to tell two or three people. They love to get into that. But you know what I get excited about? You are of God. You are from. And the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 31, he that comes from above is above all. He or she that comes from above is above all. I'm not down on the earth hoping God will send some answers down to my prayers. I've been seated in heavenly places with Christ. I'm already head and shoulders above everything else underneath my feet. He that comes from above is above all. I'm telling y'all, get ready for the next level of blessing in your life. Everything shifts, everything changes by revelation knowledge. The more of this word you understand and know, the more things have to move out of your way. If you bought a piece of property and nobody had shown you the map of the details of what's entailed in your property, you don't have the right to put up a fence because you don't know where your property line starts or where it ends. And because you can't put up a fence, you can't put up a no trespassing sign. And if somebody tried to encroach on your property or try to build a building, you can't go out there with a shotgun and say, get off my property, because you're not sure it is your property. But when revelation knowledge comes, it delineates the markers and you begin to know, this is where my property begins and this is where the devil's ends. The reason many people can't command the devil to take his hands off their life and off of their stuff, they're not sure he's trespassing. They're not sure that he's in a place he shouldn't be. They're not going to say, you know, I've been dealing, my whole family's dealt with this for four generations deep. My great-grandma had it, my grandmama had it, my mama had it, and I'm sure one day I'm going to have it too, because it's just something that runs in the family. And you know, everybody's got heart disease, and everybody's battling cancer, and everybody's got problems with the eyes, and everybody's got type 2 diabetes. But I came to encourage you tonight and tell you, when you got saved, you got brought out of one family and planted in another family. Whatever was running through your family tree was cut off at the tree of Calvary, and now you can boldly proclaim, devil, you're trespassing on God's property. Take your hands off what God said is his. Shout yes. Once you know this word, you know where your property is. And if you know where your property is, you can get violent about taking authority. I can tell him, cease and desist and get going. When I lived in Virginia, we had neighbors that had a beautiful big dog. Her name was Roxy, big white dog. Huge. She'd get up on the fence and just cry and whine till I come pet her. She loved people. One day I was out in the backyard grilling some burgers on the grill. And I went back in the house to get some marinade and stuff for the burgers. And I turned around through the sliding glass door. And when I went to the counter, I looked and a white streak went through my house. I thought, what in the world's going on? I looked down the hallway and there's Roxy sitting in the entryway of my house. She had jumped the fence and got into my property and is sitting in my house. I thought, my goodness, it's not my dog. And she doesn't belong with her muddy paws on my light gray carpet walking through my house. So I walked back through the entryway, took big old Roxy by her collar, and started to lead her out of the house. She didn't want to go. She was dragging those back feet the whole way through. But it's not her choice. It's my choice. It ain't her house. Roxy don't pay the mortgage. Ted pays the mortgage. I started leading her right through the house. She didn't want to go, but she's going anyway. I took her back through the kitchen and out the sliding glass door into the yard, picked her up and laid her back on her side of the yard. And when I let her go, I heard the Lord say to me, that's exactly what the devil tries to do. People leave a door open in their life and the enemy runs in and sits on their couch, puts his feet on their coffee table and smiles at them like he's supposed to be there. He'll take a seat at the dinner table if you make him one, but you got to get big enough to say, this ain't your house. This is God's house. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Grab him by the nape of his neck, drag him out the way he came in and kick his behind back where he came from. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Somebody shout aloud, amen. Oh, yes. And the word carries power. His breath carries power, which means your words carry power. When I was a young boy, my dad was preaching a revival. And every night when we were driving from the hotel to the church, we had to pass along the road, Porky's Strip Club. Big neon sign, big pig waving his hand. Porky's Strip Club, come on in. And my dad got tired of looking at that every night on the way to revival. So one night we were coming back, we were going to dinner. Pastor was in the car with us, and something jumped in my dad's spirit. He was so sick of looking at that sign. He said, I command Porky's to burn to the ground in the name of Jesus. Just came right up out of his spirit. The pastor laughed. Oh, Brother Ted, you're so funny. We got home to our house after the meeting ended. 1 week later, the pastor called him up. Brother Ted, you ain't gonna believe what happened this week. What happened? Porky's burnt to the ground. My uncle has to drive out of Maine every meeting he goes to. He drives almost everywhere. And coming out of Maine, coming out of New England, there's always one rest stop that he stops at to fill up his coffee and all the things he's doing. And there was a psychic who rented out a space inside that rest area. He'd stop there before every meeting. He got so tired of seeing that psychic reading booth, little place in there. Finally, he'd had enough. He said, I come in that place to close up shop and to be for lease in Jesus' name. He went to his meeting, came back, stopped to get coffee on the way home, and the place was already empty. You do not have to put up with the devil's mess. You don't have to allow. I remember we were with Brother Shambach, R.W. Shambach, in a tent crusade, New Jersey, Camden. And a woman came up through the prayer line. She said, oh, Brother Shambach. She said, I don't know what to do. He said, what's going on, girl? She said, there's people in my apartment complex. They don't like me because I'm a Holy Ghost-filled Christian. They're witches, and they're trying to do voodoo magic against me. He said, voodoo magic? You know, he's funny. Voodoo magic? She said, yeah. She said, I come out in the morning, get my paper, and she said, I see ashes and dust and chicken bones and chicken carcasses. And then they'll have, she said, I went out one morning. They had a whole dead chicken with his throat cut, the dead chicken laying on my doorstep. She said, I don't know what to do. He said, girl, I'll tell you what to do. Next time they throw a spell on you, he said, you open your door to get your paper. He said, go out there and start dancing in the Holy Ghost in the dust and on the bones. He said, and when you're done, grab the chicken, pluck the feathers off and throw it in the frying pan and make yourself some chicken dinner. He said, you don't have to put up with some demonic mess. You've been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. I came to encourage you tonight and tell you there's no weapon formed against you that can be allowed to prosper. The power of God is on your side. Somebody jump on your feet and lift your hands to heaven and give Jesus some praise tonight. Come on, give him some praise tonight. Give him some praise tonight. Oh, shatarama rekesehe. Give him glory. He's worthy. There's nobody like him. Not in heaven, not in earth. He's wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. I said, Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. It's the power of God. Just a moment, I'm going to pray for you. I don't know what it is that's been harassing your life. But tonight, as you can see from what God had me preach, that's why I don't prepare messages, because I don't know what the Holy Ghost is going to want me to say. We just come in and lock and load and go. But understand, God is letting you know tonight that no matter whatever has been launched against you, it doesn't have the power to take you out. It doesn't have the authority to stop what he's called you to do. The greater one is on the inside of you. I think the problem, some people have a big devil syndrome. I shared a little bit of this on Sunday morning, I think. But I began to think about that one day. Why did the psalmist say, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together? I told you, anybody in this room that's got a magnifying glass in their house, you know as well as I do, that if you took a coin or a stamp or something small and you magnified it, it doesn't make that thing bigger. It makes your view of it bigger. When we magnify the Lord, he's the same size before, while, and after we're magnifying him. But what magnifying him does is make our view of him bigger. When I magnify him, I can see the details and intricacies of his glory. But some people, because of the way they talk, they magnify the devil. Isn't it interesting? You come into church, everybody's got a devil story. Oh, Brother Ted, pray for me. Devil's been after me all week. Hallelujah. I can just tell you there's spirits in my house. There's spirits. I can tell, I feel there's a dark cloud that just begins. Everybody's got a demon story. Hollywood is pumping into people's minds the power of the demonic. October's about to roll around in just a few months. I'm sure they're going to put out like Paranormal Activity Part 27 or something. You got Christian people setting up cameras with night vision in their house. I tell you, there's a demon. I'm going to catch him on film. Putting salt on your doorstep. I know there's footprints around here. I can hear them in the night. Ain't no demon grabbing a hold of Ted Shuttlesworth in his house. Locking me in some closet. You ain't going to read about that in Charisma Magazine. Evangelist Ted, locked up in a closet by a demon. His wife had to get him out hours later. You know why? Because the devil already knows where I live, and he knows not to come anywhere close. You get to this, when you get to this place in spiritual authority, hear me. I said it last night, that not only does God want it through Christ, want to give you abundant life. If he's going to give that abundant life to you, first he has to destroy what was holding back abundant life. That's why 1 John 3:8 says, the Son of God was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the enemy. Right? When you get this spiritual authority in your heart, you're not out there intimidated, hoping nothing comes against you. You start getting to the place where you go out looking for a fight. I wish a devil would stick his head up today. I feel like fighting today. I feel like smacking a demon around today. And when you start getting into that kind of a strength, those things will start manifesting around you and having to run away from you without even you speaking a word. I was walking down the streets of Paris, France. People in cafes, sitting around cafes. I just came walking down the street. Were you there for this? I was walking down the street. Me and my uncle, we're just walking down, taking in the sun. And a guy starts screaming, jumps up out of his table and runs through the cafes, smacking everybody's stuff off the table and ran out and ran away. I thought, my God, had to come halfway around the world to have some demon manifest. We're sitting in Boston, Massachusetts, getting a cup of coffee, downtown Boston. And I'm just sitting. I let the girls go, and my pastor friend went into the coffee shop. I'm just sitting in the truck, just enjoying myself in downtown. And a girl, a demonized girl, came walking right down the street. My windows are tinted dark. I mean gangster dark. You can't see me in my car. You can't see what I'm doing in there. And when they got to my car, this girl, she's probably 20-something, she started manifesting. I'm talking about freaking out, screaming at the sky, ripping at her body, fell on the ground, peed herself, blood everywhere. I said, that's a demon. I said, it ain't gonna stay around here. I said, in the name of Jesus, I didn't roll my window down. I didn't get out and begin to pour oil over. My God, shut up. I just had everything up. I said, in the name of Jesus. Like that, inside my car. She jumped up, didn't she? She jumped up off the street and took off running. I'm like, she was in a marathon. She ran to the end of the block and ran up in a bank. When a few minutes later, the guards had her come out. Can't stay in here. You don't have to put up with what the devil's dishing out. You don't have to take it. This millennial Christianity you hear people preaching, every message is generated stuff like this. How to survive the struggle. How to learn how to turn negatives into positives. Looking at the brightness, the bright light while you're in the darkness. And they think if they whisper real nice and give you a really enunciated word. Jesus did not come and shed his blood so that when you go through issues, you can just nuzzle him up and let him rub his beard on your neck and let you know he's there, he's there, he's there. No, he came to rebuke the storm. When Jesus got up off the pillow and the disciples were afraid for their life, he didn't say, fellas, you're lucky I'm here. I'm here to hold you through the storm. Let's just hold each other now. I want to sit at your feet, smell the cologne on your neck. Lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heartbeat. Put your chin upon my chest. Rub your beard upon my neck. I don't know what we start singing in church nowadays. Some of these songs have become just glorified R&B songs. All you gotta do is take out the name Jesus, put in girl. You got an R&B song. What happened to when we started singing about the power of God? Do you know, I don't know if any of you have noticed this. Some of y'all have been in church a while. Do you remember? We used to sing songs that glorified the power of God. We used to sing songs about the blood of Jesus. Now everything seems to be about how unworthy we are. Have you noticed this? You'll see in many, many popular worship songs today, we've switched our focus from the power of God to the humanity of our life. You got to keep your eye open for this kind of stuff, because the enemy wants you to switch and make it all about you when it's actually all about him. Oh, God. I want to help you some. Praise and worship are not for the people. Praise and worship is for God. A praise and worship service is not a cheerleading event to get you ready to hear the word of God. It's to get you to the place where you're blessing the name that's above every name, so that the windows of heaven can open up and he can fall in this house and loose a blessing to you. Redeemer of my past and present wrongs. I said that on Sunday. Present wrong. Are you sinning while you're singing the worship song? Choking people out and murdering people and committing adultery while you're singing the song? Come out of that. Paul said, let's come out of the elementary teachings. Get into the deeper stuff. You shouldn't have to come in and get saved every Sunday. Thanks for all the shouts. I'm gonna help you with something. Paul got frustrated with the Corinthian church because he said, look, I've been studying. I've been in the Holy Ghost. I went to heaven. And every time I come back to Corinth, I got to give you the milk of the word. Can we get you past the milk? You know, it ain't cute if your kid's still breastfeeding. It's like, how old is he again? He's 48 months. 48 months. He's still, that's 4 years old. Get the boy some meat. There's people in church that have been saved 12 years, still taking in the milk every Sunday. Pastor has to prepare 3 meals like he's mom at home. Anybody else have kids like that? Better not let them do it. I want Cheerios. I want spaghetti. I want toast and jam. Mom ended up making 3 meals for 3 kids. There's pastors that have to come to church on Sunday morning and throw meat over here. But there's people getting offended over here because the meat's too much for these. So I got to squirt some milk over here while I'm throwing meat over here, because everybody's at different levels. So you end up making 3 meals for one Sunday because people won't get off the milk and come on over to the meat. I'll tell you something. A dairy farm is nice, but you know what's better? Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, where I can get me a big old steak, potatoes, greens, bread. Come out of the elementary teachings. You don't got to get saved every week. Move on to the deeper things in God. Realize your authority in Christ. You're not an old sinner saved by grace. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'll encourage you with this thought before we pray. I feel the anointing in this room. God did not create everything in the 6 days of creation. It was incomplete. He didn't create everything. He saved one for thousands of years later. And then when Jesus died on the cross, he pulled out his secret weapon. He said, I created the world, but actually I have a new creation. It's a new creature in Christ Jesus, and tossed it into the world. It was something the world wasn't even ready for until Jesus died. And the book of Romans says that the earth is groaning for the revelation of the sons of God. It's looking for you to stand up in power, stand up in authority, stand up in glory, and begin to work the works of Christ. Whew. Oh, hallelujah. Tonight, when we pray for you, I'm going to ask God that whatever was posing a threat or a harassment to your life would be burnt up by the fire of the Holy Ghost tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever was causing there to be a rebellion against God's plan for your life, that tonight it would burn up by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Brother Ted, I've been battling diabetes in my body. I command that thing to burn up and your pancreas to be completely healed in Jesus' name. I'm battling arthritis. My joints have pain. They're stiff. They're swelling. I command it to be burned up in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever was harassing your life, never again. Never again. But before we pray, I want every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed. You hear me. If you are in this church, you say, preacher, look, if Jesus did come back tonight, I don't know that I'd be ready to see him. There are some things in my life that are displeasing to God, things that are not right, sinful things. And I want to know that I'm ready to see Jesus when he comes. He's coming soon. I'm telling you, he's coming soon. Don't leave this church without knowing you're ready to see Jesus when he comes back. If you're standing here, you say, that's me. There's sinful things in my life. And I'd love to know that heaven is my home. Jesus is my Savior and he's my Lord. And I'm going to leave here free with a new life in Christ. And I want to pray that prayer with you. Right where you are, I want you to lift your hand and hold it high. And I'm going to pray with you. I see it there. Who else? Who else? I see it in the back. Who else? Anybody else? This is your night to make all things new. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Give you one more moment if there's anybody else. Do not miss your moment. Jesus is calling your name. Those of you that lifted your hand, quickly get out of your seat. Come stand with me. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, let's pray. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to pray for all of you in just a moment. Come. Come on, Brother Flash. Hallelujah. Come on, my sister. Glad to have you back, my friend. God bless you. God bless you. Glad you're here. We're going to pray this prayer on every hand to be lifted. I want you to say this with me with a bold voice and a loud voice. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for sending your son to die for me. I ask you now, forgive me for my sin. Make me new. Give me the power to live for you for the rest of my life. Till I die, till you come, I will live for you. Say, devil, take your hands off my life. I belong to Jesus. He is mine. I am his. I do not belong to you. From this day forward, you are trespassing on God's property. Go in Jesus' name. Now lift both hands and thank God that you're free tonight. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, your glory, your power. Fill these with the mighty power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Use them for your glory. Put a hedge of protection around them in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for it. We give you praise. Those of you that are still in your seat, but the enemy has tried to attack and harass your life, and you're done. You are done with it. You're ready for freedom from heaven. I want you to get out of your seat and come to God's altar tonight. I'm going to lay hands on you. If you've been battling, what doesn't matter what? Some of you, it might be depression, anxiety. Others, it might be sickness. Others, you might be suffering with something. You can't seem to get free. Tonight is your night to be free. I'm going to pray and ask God to touch you. And I believe he will. Somebody shout, he will. Hallelujah. Could I have the worship team back? You know, I heard y'all do that song tonight when I was coming in. The presence of the Lord is here. Could you guys do that song again? That was powerful. I appreciate this worship team. They've done such a phenomenal job. Phenomenal job. Every hand lifted. I'm telling you, the mighty anointing of God is in this place tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are full of his power. Full of his glory. Full of his anointing. Ha ha ha. Full of his power, full of his anointing. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. From this night forward, things will not be the same. For the power of God changes and breaks every chain in Jesus' mighty name. Lift those hands all over this church. Power of God is moving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Excuse me, let me come through. Did I hear them say that you're pastoring in Orlando? When I was preaching, I heard the Holy Spirit saying that there's a piece of property that He has reserved for you and your church. A piece of property that'll be prime for you. That you'll not have to struggle with the city. You'll not have to jump through 18 hoops. You'll not have to go behind the scenes and glad hand the high rollers, if you know what I'm talking about. God said, I'm going to open up the door for you for the kingdom of God. And you'll not have any problem with expansion. You'll not have any problem with expansion. For God is getting ready to expand your ministry to a new level. And I'll tell you this, it won't be long that there'll be a quick influx of souls. Some people will even say, where in the world did these people come from? Where did they come from? But see, let me show you something. Just as God in the Old Testament was able to blow His breath from heaven and blow quail in from every direction to feed the children of Israel, He can blow His breath from the north, south, east, and west and blow souls into your church. Ha, 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 ha. And so the souls won't be an issue and the space won't be an issue because God's got a piece of property set aside for you. Ha, 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 ha. And we release it now. Fire of the Holy Ghost come upon. In Jesus' name. Receive it by the power of God. Receive it by the power of God. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Receive it by the power of God. Oh, Jesus. Somebody thank God with him. Thank God with him. Oh, Jesus. Poja rama reki se patanaha. I'm telling you, His presence is here. Somebody press in. Somebody press in. Somebody press in. Somebody press in. Are you His wife? Wife? Lift your hands. Your husband just got a word. Now it's your turn. As your ministry continues to expand, that's the word your husband got, and there's a piece of property God's setting aside for your church, and you won't have to struggle to get it, and you won't have to fight the city, and there won't be a war. It's not going to be a turf war, because God owns the turf. Jesus' name. But here's what the Lord says to you, that in these upcoming months, you're going to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are beginning to manifest through the work of your hands in your ministry as you minister to those in the church, that you're going to begin to see miracles, signs, and wonders. As your heart has been crying out for the supernatural, you said, God, we don't want to play church in Orlando. There's too many churches playing church in Orlando. We're not looking for seeker sensitive, Lord. We want the Holy Ghost. We want the real. We want to see the power of God. We don't want to compromise your glory for numbers. God said, I heard your cry, and I'm going to open up the floodgates on you and pour out my spirit and pour out an influx of souls. But press into me, says God, because I'm going to release to you a new dimension of signs and wonders like you've never seen in your ministry or in your church. And you'll begin to see the sick instantly being healed. Those that are battling anxiety, depression, suicidal spirits, ADD, ADHD, addiction to drugs, opioids, nicotine. I'm telling you, it's getting ready to be delivered instantly by the power of God. Fire of the Holy Ghost come upon her tonight. In Jesus' name. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands all over this place. Go ahead, go ahead. All over this church. Lift them up.
The presence of the Lord is here.
Everything that the enemy tried to send to steal your peace, your joy and your peace has been attacked. Isn't that right? And you have not had what you would call good rest in a while.
Yes.
Because the enemy has tried to steal what God said is yours. For the Bible says He gives His beloved rest. Psalm 127 and verse 2. And so God tonight is restoring your rest. Amen. You're going to sleep like you've never slept. No more waking up in the middle of the night. No more struggling, saying, how am I going to get to work? How am I going to do this? Where's the strength I'm going to need to do it? God said, I'll give you strength tonight. For my peace comes, a peace that passes all understanding, A joy. The Bible. Now listen to me. Everybody in this room, you hear me. Anything in your life that has overstayed for more than one night is overstayed its welcome. Yeah. For the Bible says, weeping may endure for one night, but joy comes in the morning. Whatever has stayed with you and tried to harass you time and time and time again, from this night forward, I command its power to cease and desist in the mighty name of Jesus. I rebuke every foul spirit that torments God's people. And I loose the power of God to every man and every woman. Free in Jesus' name. Be free. In Jesus' name. I said in Jesus' name. No more. No more. Jesus did it. Got a new wife with new ears. Hallelujah. Who else? Who am I praying for? Show me. Raise your hand. What happened?
It opened.
Ear opened up. What was happening? Come here. Tell them what was going on.
Like I'm always in an airplane with this ear. It's like it opens, it closes. I have to keep pulling it. Like, see right now? If I do this, it's perfect.
Yeah. And you couldn't hear.
So it popped. I feel it now, but it, you know, I think it's still working. It's still open.
Lift your hands, you foul thing. I speak to you now in the mighty name of Jesus. I command this ear to come open completely for the glory of God. No more issues. No more in and out. Open by the power of the Holy Ghost for the glory of the Most High God. Open.
Jesus, here. It's a good thing.
Clear. Hold this microphone. Plug up the other ear. Plug it tight. Won't you say what I say? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Put it right up to your mouth. There you go. You're preaching a message. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I can hear.
I can hear.
It's not going to go in and out. It will not go in and out.
It's not going in and out.
My ear is open.
My ear is open.
By the power of God.
By the power of God.
Jesus did it.
Jesus did it.
He's my healer.
He's my healer. I can hear him.
And I'll never be deaf.
And I'll never be deaf.
Turn around, look how far I'm away from you.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Let's all lift our hands and thank the Lord. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. No man can do those things. I can't do them. Only Jesus can do them. His power is real. We need to lift our hands and thank him that he is alive. He's
presence
on the way back.
The Lord is here.
Let's praise him. Come on, come on.
The presence of the Lord is here.
Oh, I can feel it.
The presence of the Lord.
I want you to declare this by faith. Say what I say. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Plug this ear up. Don't be cheating. There you go. Say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I can hear.
I can hear.
Jesus opened my ear.
He just opened my ear.
She told me, she said, I got the same issue as my son. Same issue. And that was your son I just prayed for? Oh, my goodness. And it's the same ear? That is the devil. He's not going to steal your hearing. Take this mic.
Keep it in my family that are like
say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I can hear.
I can hear.
I'll not be deaf.
I will not be deaf. I'm not using a hearing aid.
I will not need a hearing aid.
I will not need a hearing aid.
Jesus, open my ear. You foul thing. In Jesus' name, I command you. Come out of this ear and do not come back in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, for your glory, open in Jesus' name. Clear.
Yes.
Say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I will not need a hearing aid.
I will not need a hearing aid.
Jesus opened my ears.
Jesus opened my ears.
And I'll never be deaf.
In Jesus' name.
Let's lift our hands and thank God with her. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. His power is real. Amen. Amen. Lift your hands. I heard the Holy Ghost say something here. I don't know what you do. You may be working. You might be retired. I don't know. But I heard God said he's getting ready to bless you with a new level of financial blessing. Why, Pastor? God's getting ready to open up some doors for you. And whatever was hard is getting ready to be easy.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Whatever was hard is getting ready to be easy.
Yeah.
Amen? I'm going to just tell you this because it's encouraging. God's getting ready to fill your mouth with laughter. When this blessing comes upon you, He's filling your mouth with laughter. And all who hear about it will laugh with you. Oh, yeah. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I come in every door to swing wide open by the power of the Holy Ghost, open by the glory of God. I command you be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let's lift our hands and sing it one more time. Come on.
Can I feel it.
Hey.
I can feel the presence of the Lord.
Come on.
And I'm going to get my best.
Would you clap your hands
right
and say,
I can feel the presence of the Lord. And I'm going to get my best.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.